I trade freight services in association with Who1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Dr. Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Dr. Who podcast. It's episode 200.
Yay!
Woo-hoo!
And the ones that could be bothered to turn up this week are Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
Dead and decapitated. But that's Christmas if you're a turkey.
Mary Lang.
Boss of the Psycho Space Nuns. So you.
And Rhys Barton.
Anyone for Twister?
Preferably with clothes on.
Oh, no, not Clara.
Well.
By the way, that's are we playing Twister now? Just to be pedantic.
Yeah. And I have to say, even though it's slightly late, Merry Christmas!
Yes, yay! Merry Christmas!
As opposed to Mary Christmas. Lang!
Yeah, this is my time of year.
Yes, and of course this week we'll be talking about the time of the Doctor. Surprise, surprise.
But first of all,
I think it's only polite to try and see what sort of Christmases everybody's had so far. Who's at the top of the list? Oh yeah, Kirby.
Oh, it's been great. I posted over my regular Facebook page one of my favorite Christmas tree ornaments, which is done by a artist friend of mine. He made it like 25 years ago. It's not Doctor Who related, so that's why I didn't put it on the Facebook page. But it's a little monster coming out of a box. So go over to my Facebook page and you'll see it.
Excellent. So did you get any Doctor Who related things for Christmas?
I've got the 25th anniversary Five Doctors on order from Amazon. But it's currently out of stock. Okay. So, yes, I'm getting one.
Oh, it's on its way.
It's on its way. It could be a little
Father
while.
Amazon also, Christmas is slightly delayed.
Right, exactly. but yeah, it's there. And I also have the next year's calendar. I posted a picture of Julia holding it.
Which I believe you can get from who1.co.uk.
Is that who1.co.uk?
Is that
who1.co.uk? Yes, who1.co.uk. Yes, all right. Later on, Mary.
I supported the corner shop. Yes, here because they're my local.
Oh, by the way, McCoy,
British,
that reminds
British
me.
Shop.
I sent you a package. Have you received it yet?
No.
Wow. Okay, it's on its way then. Rather like your Father Christmas Amazon thing.
Yes.
Mary Lang.
Everything's. My Doctor Who Christmas is kind of a subversive event here, because I have a daughter who really dislikes Doctor Who. So I had to wait till she went to visit friends to even watch the Time of the Doctor episode that I recorded. Well, her complaint is, Mom, Doctor Who ruins every holiday. And I said, what do you mean every? And then it occurred to me that, oh yeah, this spring I went to visit her and we ended up going to a Doctor Who conference. And over Thanksgiving, where was I? I was at Chicago TARDIS.
Yeah.
So here at Christmas, I mean, we've got the full on hate thing going on here. So, it's like, okay, it's just my little secret thing to the side. So no, I didn't get any Doctor Who related gifts.
Oh, okay.
I'm disappointed because my entire family loves Doctor Who now. Mm. Even my wife, would you believe it? Miracle of miracles, yesterday, we sat her down and it was almost that way because we'd been working her the way through Matt Smith's shows and she liked 11th Hour, but you know, the next couple are not that great. So it was like 3 weeks. They're all right. They're all right. And she thought they were all right. And the next couple of weeks, she watched the next ones and we kept telling her, Time of Angels, Flesh and Stone were great. And, when she came down to dinner, the girls and I had it on TV on Netflix and she looked at it and got immediately sucked in. So we watched Time of Angels, Flesh and Stone and, what's the next one after that?
Vampires?
Vampires.
Yes. Vampires. That's the correct answer. Well done, point to Mary.
Thank you.
And She's now, I think, a Doctor Who fan.
Good.
Excellent.
Oh, good for you.
Reese.
Well, I didn't, apart from the episode, which I guess isn't really a gift, I didn't really get any Doctor Who presents as of yet, because I've been told by my brother that he's ordered something from overseas, but it didn't arrive in time, so it could be a Doctor Who-related thing. But I'm quite pleased with the Christmas I had. Apart from on Christmas Day, I woke up far too early because I had a very bad headache, so I was pretty tired and grumpy the whole time on Christmas Day. But then Boxing Day was kind of a bit better for me because I had Doctor Who to look forward to and I was feeling better, so... You know.
Oh, were you Mr. Grumpy Pants?
I was. Bah humbug.
Okay, I suppose I better say what I got, if I can remember it all. Of course, some of it I knew I was Spoiled. Getting because it was bought at the Doctor Who celebration. time capsule, Fourth Doctor car time capsule, which is rather fun. In fact, I'm using it as a microphone stand at the moment, funny enough. That's really good. Don't really know what to do with it, actually, because I've already got Terror of the Zygons and I've already got a couple of the other things that are in it. Oh, it's a Tom Baker interview. I might listen to that.
Ooh.
It's just because it was a bit of a novelty. Oh, the screwdriver, the Fourth Doctor Tonic screwdriver within there. That's quite nice.
If you don't want Terror of the Zygons, I haven't bought it yet.
Keep it. It's a special edition, Terror of the Zygons. I've got both editions. That's obviously like I think it was like a pre-release of it. Before it came out properly on DVD, so got that. What else we get? Two T-shirts: the Sixth Doctor T-shirt and the Tenth Doctor T-shirt. I got a TARDIS onesie, as you may have seen from the photographs.
Oh yeah.
What else?
Your whole family wears onesies.
Yeah, they're quite comfy. That one is a little bit tight, but it actually is still quite comfy. I wore it to bed last night. Very nice. What else did I get? I think that's about it, really, Doctor Who-wise. I'm sorry. I apologise if I've forgotten something. did I get any? No, I didn't. No, I say I haven't worn, because I was wearing my Southampton shirt. I got a new Southampton shirt yesterday, which was very nice. So I've got a few other non-related things to Doctor Who. Alicia got me a mug, which is like looks like a lens. It's a tea. I thought it was a bit unsafe because it's got a very small base and I think it's easily knocked over, but I actually got something from her, so I should be quite grateful. Other than that, that's about it. But yeah, I'm quite pleased with what I've got, really. So especially very the t-shirts, because I'm always wearing those t-shirts, so I'm probably going to have to get a new fifth and fourth Doctor t-shirt because I'm wearing them out. So I suppose we'd better move on. Yesterday Alicia's boyfriend, Matt, was around, and much
Matt?
To... Matt,
Smith?
Yes. No, her boyfriend, Matt. Much to her embarrassing? Much to her embarrassment, we recorded a short piece. So there's Alicia having her last episode, 199, and she's still on the show in 200, so that's probably a sign of things to come. But yes, it was highly embarrassing for her, but Matt, nevertheless, when he could get a word in edgeways, got taken... Oh, bear in mind, he was talking to me... Well, anyway, here's the audio.
Is it boring and embarrassing?
Why is it boring and embarrassing?
Is that? You realise how embarrassing this is right now?
No, I don't, yes. Because you haven't told me. It's no more embarrassing for you than it is for me.
Don't do it then!
Anyway, right. So this was... Sorry, last episode was supposed to be Alicia's last...
Ow!
Good. Last episode. But something's transpired that's meant that she's still here.
I don't want to be here.
Lingering around like a smelly fart. So will you stop biting that One Direction DVD?
Isn't it?
So, Matt, yes, what did you think then of what's it called again? Doctor Who, The Time of the Doctor. Now, honest opinions...
He doesn't say anything. He's too embarrassed. I'm forcing him to do it.
Because it's Matt Smith's last episode. As a casual viewer, try and detach yourself from being a fan of Doctor Who. What did you really think of it? Now, you've watched it twice.
Mum, can you get me scissors?
What did you think?
I thought they tried to pack a bit too much into it.
So what do you think they could have done without?
I think, back in when the new lot came back, it was quite basic. And I like that side of it, but I thought they tried to pack too much time, too much. Too many monsters, too many.
Yeah, there were a lot of monsters.
It almost got a bit sort of they didn't really delve into the storyline as much as I thought they were going to.
When you say the storyline, do you mean the storyline of the 11th Doctor's era, like, because there was, we were waiting for them to explain the crap, which they, I think just about did at the end of it.
Yeah.
And there was other little things that were left open from earlier series. I think they more or less did cover everything. I can't think of anything.
They covered it, but it was quite broad, where they tried to cover quite a bit.
So if you weren't somebody who watched the series a lot,
you probably would have been.
Yeah, you might have been a bit confused. Well, we might have done what most apparently people in the country did, is just turn it on for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, people like to see the regeneration.
So what about the regeneration, and what did you think of how that was done?
I thought it was all right. I got why it was so quick, because it happened from right at the top of the tower.
Yeah.
To the end, so it was quite good. But as we all knew who it was anyway, it wasn't a surprise as much as some of the other ones.
Well, so they did it in quite a clever way, is that obviously he's at the top of the tower, half expected it to be Peter Capaldi after that, and then of course we see some footsteps in the TARDIS, and half expected it to be Peter Capaldi then, and of course when it was Peter Capaldi it was very quick. So I thought they did that, the suspense of that was done quite well. So, what did you think, Alicia?
I'm not saying anything.
I'm
an awkward teenage person.
What?
What did you think of the programme then?
Hello?
Ben Shabba there in female form. So if we take out the fact there was two monsters.
Embarrassing!
Let's try and approach it from the positives.
My family likes
this.
What did
he loves it. What were the positives? Obviously, Matt Smith would be a beige. He was. I'm still missing him now. But what were the positives for you?
I thought the idea of the story was quite good. Where it turned out, because I quite like the silence, it turns out they end up helping him.
Yeah.
But that was good.
Yeah, and the fact that they were a religious group, which was a bit...
But they weren't trying to take over the world or anything. They were actually working for a religious order.
Yeah, I thought it was quite clever that the fact that they were based on an idea, the Catholic priests, that, you know, you confess to them and then they forget. I thought that was quite good. I wonder how long it took Moffat to think of that idea up. And all that Karen Gillan's surprise appearance at the end.
Was it necessary? Probably not.
I think it was a bit damaged by the fact that they had the little Amelia running around and it clearly wasn't her. I don't think that was really necessary, because obviously Caitlin Blackwood, friend of the show, anybody who's been on the show is a friend of the show.
No one cares.
You didn't even know Caitlin Blackwood had been on the show.
She
is a little bit old. She doesn't look like an 8-year-old anymore. She looks more like a 15-year-old, actually. Yeah. So she wouldn't quite have fitted the role. But the little girl they got, her hair was far too light coloured to pass as little Amelia. But it was a nice touch, I suppose. And in fact, they didn't really need to get Karen Gillan back in it for that. So I know they like to do that with regenerations. They like to have the Doctor sort of visiting previous companions. I think they've done it quite a lot of times, going back to Tom Baker time. They've had him sort of having flashbacks to his previous companion. Also, they didn't do it when the 7th Doctor appeared, or the 8th for that matter. I'm just drifting. Why are you winding your hands around?
Because you're sort of...
No, I'm just drifting and trying to remember how many times I've done a flashback sequence.
Adam, okay, we don't need to talk about that now.
They didn't do Tennant's ride either. Yes, we do. Who's in charge?
Me.
Wrong. Anyway, right. So,
I've lost my phone.
So how was it when you watched it the first time? Were you able to concentrate on it properly, or did you have lots of people talking and stuff while you're trying to listen to it?
My mum, who's not that into it, tends to talk and say what's happened. Oh, we've done this.
But you didn't get anyone sat next to you snoring then?
No.
That's all right, that was watching it.
I couldn't help it. I got your hair.
Yeah, it all went very quiet next to me for about half an hour, and then suddenly it was, oh, that was quick. It would have been quick if you fell and fallen asleep halfway through it.
I couldn't help it.
How was it for you, Alicia? So, what did you think of it?
It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing? You find Doctor Who embarrassing?
You're embarrassing.
What did you think of it?
Why have I got such a weird family?
What did you think of the 50th anniversary? It was all right.
So you didn't enjoy it then?
It's all right.
Was a bit of, I mean, so regeneration is always quite a historic thing in Doctor Who. No, it's a big, big thing that people always remember. They always do like compilations of on YouTube. So as regenerations go, how do you think it fares for the ones you've seen, which is technically all of them? What do you think is the best regeneration then? For the ones you've seen?
Well, I thought the dramatic music. There was no dramatic
music. So they're talking about the Tennant of the Smith one. It's quite good. One other thing annoys me, they always have to have them regenerating the TARDIS now. Why can't they regenerate outside?
It's always been in the TARDIS.
No, it hasn't.
Well, there was one where he fell asleep on like the grass. He turned into like a gold thing or some silver thing.
Oh yeah, I suppose the. Did you see the Night of the Doctor, that former the mini episode of Paul McGann?
Yeah.
He didn't regenerate inside the TARDIS, no, so I lied just a little bit then. Oops. Okay. So Capaldi then. It's quite interesting. They did.
I don't like him.
Why don't you like him?
It's weird.
But it's interesting. They made a comment about Matt Smith's lack of eyebrows. Which is quite similar to Davison. He did a bit Davison when he was made older. But the fact they go from a doctor with hardly any eyebrows to a doctor with a great big set of them in Capaldi. And what don't you like about him then? What's your name again?
Sorry, he's trying to be funny, but he's not.
No, I'm not trying to be funny. I am funny. Big difference. What do you think of Capaldi? And I was almost said Capaldi's eyebrows. So you said... don't like him after like a couple of lines in which he's slightly post-regenerative manic. You can't really judge him on that, because if I remember, Matt Smith was all over the place when he became the Doctor. Geronimo!
Is it because he's old? It's because he's old, isn't it?
Yeah. How old is he?
Well, he's not exactly.
What they should have done, they should have kept Matt Smith old when he did the regeneration, because obviously then he would have looked younger, wouldn't he? If he regenerated from the old 11th Doctor we saw just before the big sort of tower scene, and then it made him young again. If they kept him old, then he would have looked a lot younger. I thought they were doing that, you know. I thought they'd made him old to make him look younger as Peter Capaldi. Then they went the other way around. I'm just waiting for her to answer my question.
Yeah, but you're waffling.
Well, I will waffle, because it's an audio presentation, and somebody needs to be speaking. As she's not speaking, I need to be speaking. Oh, look, she's gone all cute. That doesn't happen very often. Well, it's just when she's asleep most of the time.
I'm not cute when I'm asleep.
You are, actually, apart from when you're dribbling. You're not very cute.
I don't dribble. Yeah. I don't dribble when I don't snore.
You do snore. She does snore, actually. So, Matt, then, I'll pose that same question to you. Obviously, she doesn't like the idea of an older doctor. How do you feel about Capaldi?
I think it's a good idea, because they couldn't really have another younger one.
Yeah, they've got a baby in the end.
Yeah, because they've had two in a row who are quite, not similar, but Tennant and Smith, they tend to be quite young, quite all over the place.
And I think Capaldi can play that sort of type of doctor, even though he's older, he can play sort of one with a sort of a youngish sort of outlook.
Yeah. You know,
bouncing around. Like Tom Baker did, because Tom Baker was probably around Capaldi's age when he became the Doctor.
Yeah.
So I think we're right in that score. But that's good then. I think most people are quite pleased about the idea. If Matt Smith is going to be replaced, he's got to be replaced by somebody who's a fan of Doctor Who, even though they're older, and understands the character and is able to create his own version of the Doctor from knowledge of the show.
Mm. Don't want to copy again.
No. But you didn't like his first few lines, Alicia. Capaldi didn't like write the lines, he just said them, didn't he? And then he said something about crashing, which is what Smith's Doctor said when he started off. So I suppose as long as the next episode we don't see him hanging from the TARDIS, you know, like he was, and flying over Big Ben and nearly doing his splits over the top of the tower of Big Ben, did he not? I can't remember. Yeah. Okay. Why are you looking confused?
Because you're waffling again.
I'm trying to fill in gaps. The less gaps I have to fill in, the less editing I have to do.
But you're still waffling. Yes,
imagine
it's even
a great one. Right then, let's see if we can get something out of Alicia. What do you think of the favourite bit? Favourite bit of the episode then, Alicia? When it finished.
Nothing.
Favourite bit of the episode then, Matt?
I quite liked it. Well, it's one of those with a wooden side.
I feel sick.
What? The wooden side man, I thought was quite good.
Quite good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I
should talk about woman's wooden side, but the actual head thing that he was carrying around for most of the time.
Yeah, I thought that was quite a good touch.
What do you think, Alicia? The head thing. Handles, it was called, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Why are you looking blankly? Can you not remember the Sideman head he was carrying around for most of the story? This is what the listeners have been waiting for a long time.
What?
Alicia being on the show and saying absolutely nothing, because you'd absolutely guaranteed of there being no drivel being uttered. One what? Oh well. So, that's about it, really, isn't it? Mm. So, we more or less liked it. What did you think, Deb?
Sorry? No one cares!
What did you think?
No one cares!
I fell asleep.
No one cares.
Isabella, come over here.
No one cares.
What did you think of the episode then?
Well, I actually really liked it.
But I thought you were scared of the silence and all the other stuff that's supposed to be there. This is scary.
Yeah, they were not that scary.
What made you stay up to 10 o'clock? You couldn't go to bed. Alright, what was the scariest
bit? Why was she up to 10 o'clock last night?
Nothing. Nothing's the scariest bit, actually.
So you weren't scared by any of it?
Nope.
Liar!
I believe that.
I'm not scared.
Did she not? Well, you were asleep, so you wouldn't know.
I was asleep, I don't know.
Well, Alicia was curled up behind the settee, weren't you, Alicia?
It's a fun thing to be asleep on Christmas Day.
You're scared to bits, weren't you?
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Especially when the Daleks are
fell asleep halfway through Michael McIntyre.
The thing came through her head and that, so... Dad, help! She said.
Yeah, I screamed.
Sorry. It's true, she actually did scream.
See, Lala?
No, don't be horrible. Anyway, right, so yes, thank you very much for coming on our 200th episode.
Unfortunately.
Why is it unfortunately?
Because you embarrassed me. How embarrassing. I'm
quite pleased that's happened.
I'm going to get jumped now. Because of yay!
Excuse me.
She's going to leave me because of yay, you're embarrassing!
In 100 odd episodes you did appear on, Alicia. Don't you think there's any sign of embarrassment I've had to put up with in that time?
That's
I had to go back and edit together a compilation of all 199 episodes and listen to the amount of times you made me fly off the handle by your awkwardness.
Shut up.
Payback time.
So this one is more embarrassing than her being terribly hungover?
No, it's embarrassing for her, the fact that her boyfriend now knows she's been part of a Doctor Who podcast. He's a geek, so I don't think he finds it particularly embarrassing, but... never mind. Moving on. Yeah, so...
Let her know that I played the first few minutes of her hangover for the girls who have sworn to never touch alcohol.
Mm. Well, she said that, but I do believe her plans for New Year are indeed to get a little bit merry. Anyway, not merry, merry.
Yes.
Right then, so let's move on. Let's do the time of the Doctor. Right, It begins, and it's going to be a bit awkward, this, because I've got no sound on with this, and I've got no subtitles either, but it begins with a load of ships gathering around a mysterious planet, which I think straight away I realised it was going to be Trenzlor, so there's no point in saying later on we find out it's Trenzlor. Yes?
Yeah. Didn't they say that in some of the previews? Trenzlor? So it was no surprise at all. In fact, I found it surprising when Handel's said Gallifrey.
I thought, what?
It's not red.
But anyway, so the Doctor sort of turns up and then gets surrounded by Daleks. So I do quite like the way he's carrying a Dalek eye, and then suddenly there's loads of Daleks.
Yeah, those big pillars.
I did notice.
Big pillars with the...
the Dalekanium things, yeah. The thing is that the Daleks are the worst shot Daleks in history. There was about 50 of them, and they missed him. They missed it.
Stormtrooper Daleks.
and then, of course, we meet Handel's in, which I don't find out his name's Handel's till later. And a couple of, I think we watched it once, and Alicia said, why has he got a Cyberman head? And I said, well, if you watched it properly, you would notice this. He does explain it. So we watched it again with Matt yesterday and the thing. And she was texting right the way through that bit when the explanation came along. And we both all looked at her and went sort of with the hands out, saying, and she goes, what? The explanation.
But anyway.
I think he calls him Handles in the very first scene.
Oh, does he?
Talking with
he does.
Yeah, but it's funny, I did, and I know somebody else has already said this since, but when I was watching it, it did make me think of Wilson from Castaway, and somebody else obviously got the same notion.
Yeah, I read that, and I'm aware of Wilson, but I've never seen Castaway, so.
Yeah, but the only difference is there is a
good movie.
Actual interaction between Handles and the Doctor. They actually do really speak to each other, whereas Wilson
and
is just
the way
a deflated ball.
He just...
Oh, sorry.
You said you loved
the way Matt did that too. He was, I just love the way most actors would probably roll their eyes at talking to a prop on a stick, but he just rolled with it and had a lot of fun with it and telling him, remind me to hook the phone up to the console again. And then straight away he does.
Great interchange. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When? And well, of course, well, sometime. When?
And of course, he's quite busy. But he doesn't mention the fact he's quite busy when Clara calls to try and get him to come and pretend to be her boyfriend. And meanwhile, he wanders in a load of Cybermen, and he uses Handles to deflect some of the cyber shootings.
Yeah, straight after he's just used a bit of Dalek in the middle of the Daleks. He's holding a Cyberman head.
Yeah.
And he just goes, oh, no.
And then we get to see the opening title sequence for the last time. Now, how many of you realise that the Grand was the woman from Vengeance on Varos before we...
Not until Missy posted it.
I knew it straight away, but I didn't say
it. I knew she looked familiar, but I couldn't place her.
Oh, well, I didn't say it because nobody in my house would have realised that, so I kept my mouth shut because it was totally Doctor Who related. Now, the one thing, straight away, this is 4 minutes into the show, I'm thinking, hang on, these are supposed to be Clara's parents. We've already met Clara's parents in Rings of Akaten. And I'm a bit confused as to what the hell's going on, because this isn't a different Clara. This is the same Clara, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it is. Yes. The same name.
Should be.
Clara Oswald.
Yes. So where have these parents sprung up from? Bearing in mind, a mum is supposed to be dead.
I saw someplace on where the explanation was that was supposed to be her, that was supposed to be her dad, even though it's a different actor. Supposed to be the same person, and that he had remarried.
Okay,
fair enough.
And by the way, you notice that he remarried the
Atmos voice.
The Atmos
voice.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
So that was a bit that confused me initially. And also now she's calling herself an English teacher and not a nanny. I suppose that's just to keep on the 50th anniversary.
Right.
Going, but I don't mind that. Then we have a naked doctor.
Yeah.
I do love her reaction. It's almost exactly like Catherine Tate's, you're naked. She does it slightly differently.
I loved his, he goes, yes, I am. And he's just happy with it.
And re-watching the scene where he meets the parents and Gran.
Yes.
You know that he is that.
But they say his name.
Right. Yeah. I didn't get it the first time, you know, but the second time it was hilarious to watch their reactions.
Yeah, the nan loves it.
Yeah.
And the dad has this look on his face, which is just great.
Yeah, that's really good.
He stops and just looks at his behind.
And of course, for some reason, decide to cook the turkey using the time winds. Much against the Doctor. You must stop using the TARDIS.
Is
like
that
this.
What you get sometimes?
No, I do. I get it quite a lot, especially after Brussels sprouts. talking of Brussels sprouts, Alicia's chip shop, not just known at the one where she, fish and chip shop where she works, came upon this novel idea of battering up Brussels sprouts and deep frying them. And apparently they've gone down a storm. So, but you have to pre-cook them, I think, because they only go into the deep fat for about 30 seconds. But apparently they're absolutely delicious. So, yes, they end up at this Trenzlore place, which isn't Trenzlore, it is. But what's it, the Church of the Papal Thingamajig? Please remind me of what it's called.
Mainframe.
Papal Mainframe.
The Mainframe, Church of the Papal
Mainframe. I do love
the
fact that her face appears on it and she does the finger signal to... You know, come
here. Yeah, you could tell that was meant to be River Song. I didn't really like that.
Oh, that's all right. Oh, I didn't think of that. I suppose it could have been. But then, how would she be the leader of a church, River Song? That wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. I didn't think.
Basically, River Point Two. Never mind.
I've got a message from Matthew. I've got a message from Matthew. It says, is something going on for everyone to be on Facebook instead? What's he on about?
Because we've been teasing him to get him on.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
We love Matthew. Right then, I love the actress who plays the Mother Superior. I think she's
Superior, yes.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Kirby. The Mother Superior.
Get it right, Adam.
I thought she was great. I liked her straight away. I thought she was a great character. And also like the bit where Clara's wandering down there and she knows she's naked and she's just feeling really sort of self-conscious. She does that. Really
Although their nudity was appreciated.
Yes.
Well, otherwise you had to cover up all her bits then. She kind of went, oh dear. really uncomfortable.
And the Doctor's flirting like mad with, which I felt a bit uncomfortable with flirting, bearing in mind he's married to River. But he does sort of relate. And he takes the drink and then spits it out.
Yes.
Which is quite funny.
I'm wondering if the next Doctor will be able to drink stuff.
Yeah, because once again, he drinks stuff and spits it right back out again.
He's always done that strange sort of sort of thing.
other doctors had no problem drinking. Particularly think of when
Pertwee, he loved his wine.
Yeah. Well, and number 10, when he was on that ship with the tie around his forehead, he was drinking.
Yeah.
He was pretending to.
That was an act,
Anyway, back to the episode. So the Silence turn up, I do like the way it walks past something and she forgets it.
What are you talking about?
Oh, shut up, you.
The what?
Initially, you think, what's going on with the Silence? But I think I'm not going to spoil anything. The fact everybody who's listened to this episode will already have watched this particular story. The fact that they turn out to be sort of goodies, don't they? Because they actually form a little army with the Doctor to try and protect Christmas.
Confess.
Yeah, but I like the way they explain that because why would you call a town Christmas? Why would you call an island Easter? That covers it.
Yeah.
Quite happily.
Yeah.
I noticed that Mr. I Can't Join You is online now.
He just said something.
Is he? He's not on my line.
Yes.
Hang on, let's have a look. No,
he's
not.
Is he on Skype?
Nope, he's not on my Skype. He's not coming down the list. Oh, the table!
No, I can't open the door.
Oh, for God's sake. Anyway, basically, I think Clara runs into the room because she's a bit scared by the Silent, and then, of course, forgets that she's scared by the Silent. And the Doctor and her are sent down to the planet's surface. And
after his key is taken off him.
Be quiet. Not you, I'm talking about Kirby.
After his first key is taken off him because everyone in the church is trained to see through holograms, which Clara wasn't too happy with.
Oh, right.
I guess. Since it's a wig, they can't see through the wig. Okay.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
There, Matthew just popped up online again.
Did he?
Popped up on Skype,
he is. There he is, right.
Oh.
Let's see if it'll work. And then there were four. There's an explosion. He just regenerated.
Possibly. It may sound like I have.
It did sound like you've regenerated. It's a great big explosion. Are you now wearing the sixth Doctor's outfit? Seventh.
Oh, dear God, I hope
not. Eighth Doctor's. Can I say that again?
Yes.
And do an edit. Are you now wearing the eighth? Oh, never mind. Hello, Matthew.
Hello. Don't know what my sound quality is. I'm recording in a restaurant lobby on the inbuilt microphone on my laptop, so...
Well, we'll make allowances. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and Merry Christmas to everyone.
Right, we've got up
to
the bit.
Merry Christmas.
We've got up to the bit where Clara and the Doctor have just arrived among the weeping angels underneath the snow, which again was a little bit of a homage to the weeping angel because it wasn't a very long scene. But it was very well done because it had Isabella hiding behind a cushion. She can't hide behind the sofa because the sofa is up against the wall. But I'm sure
a lot of people online complained that we were going through monster after monster after monster. I had no problem with it.
No, I didn't have a problem with it. The only problem was that the actual angels did touch her, but she didn't get transported back in time.
Right. Yeah, I wondered about that.
So then
they move slowly again.
Yeah, well, the whole thing was a bit of a greatest hits album anyway, going through sort of the highlights of the Moffat era as well, in terms of bringing back particularly his monsters, because you've got the Weeping Angels, you've got the Silence, the whole Church of the Whatever, and so forth, and bringing back all these creations.
The Angels only do that if they want to. Remember, they held the bishop's neck in the arm, ready to break it. Okay. For a while there. They don't necessarily have to send you back in time, but only if they want to.
Keep in mind they had come through the force field and whatnot. They may have been weakened by that, because that was why they didn't kill anybody in the Angels 2-parter from Series 5, was they didn't have the energy to spare.
That's right. They had a whole debate of a river, but they didn't.
No, good point. Good point.
Do anything anyway, to her. That's
so
right.
Basically, he removes a key from his wig. Now, I quite like the fact that they did this wig thing, because obviously Matt indeed was wearing a wig, so they actually managed to work that into the storyline.
But he wasn't that
laugh.
Old when he was wearing it.
No, I know.
So they
he
put
wasn't.
The old cap on first.
No, I know. But
did you see the picture I posted about 5 hours ago?
Maybe
with.
Which
he
one?
And Karen Gillan, and there's all
these all the wig things. Yeah,
it's a wig. It's a wig.
It's a wig. They're both in wigs.
Cool. Anyway, so they this is when they go down to Christmas and have the. I love the bit where they've got the light. They can't not tell lies. I thought that was quite funny.
Yes.
I've watched this multiple times and don't have subtitles.
You can't understand what Clara says.
Yes.
No. Nor can
her
I.
Name.
Something about bossy personality, speaking really fast, this, that, and the other.
So,
but why did she say that when they ask her her name?
Yeah, I thought that at the time. I don't know. But talking about things that were explained, we've got a very quick explanation as to why the crack was there and the TARDIS explode, etc., etc. But again, a quick explanation, as long as it's an explanation, that's good, isn't it?
Well, I think it was a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, in that people either were going to be unhappy with it being explained the way it was, or would have been complaining because it didn't get explained at all. I am happy, though, that they only did it in a couple of lines of dialogue instead of making a big production number out of it and taking 10 or 15 or more minutes of screen time trying to explain something that frankly happened 4 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's fine. And also, how do we feel when the crack appeared? Did you know that was going to happen? Was that a big surprise for you?
It
was
I knew
a surprise
when I
for me.
All right. It was a surprise for me, and oddly enough, during the initial broadcast, when I was just following Twitter, nobody mentioned it.
Oh.
Yeah, you're right. Nobody did.
That's good, then, is it not? People trying to avoid giving out spoilers.
Yeah. Oh, there were spoilers all over.
Yeah, I thought the crack had been resolved, so when it showed up, it was, I thought, oh, they're bringing that back again.
Well, what was causing it wasn't explained.
Yeah, there were spoilers all over the place, because people did mention Time Lords, but they did mention that it was the crack.
I'll tell you what, though, I mean, I will say...
And also, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I will say that, we were trying to surmise how they were going to... Because obviously we knew they were going to find a way to give the Doctor a new life cycle of regenerations or whatever. And of all the ideas, I think this is the one I prefer, because we've had the last episode where the Time Lords are sort of back. They're somewhere, but we don't know where. They're obviously in another universe. I just like the way they've given him a full, you know... A full life cycle of regenerations. They could have done it anyway,
Did they actually give him a full cycle?
Yes.
He says
in the TARDIS at the end, he says a whole new regenerative cycle. That's why it's reset. It's taking longer to kick in as a result.
Yeah.
And if I may put a kooky theory forward really quickly. We've noticed that the last two or three regenerations have been particularly violent. Yeah. The whole flaming torch stuff coming out, the TARDIS exploding.
Oh, I like this. I know where you're going.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, that the notion perhaps is that the reason that those regenerations have been so violent is because it takes more and more energy to regenerate each time.
Yeah.
Oh, and no, like they just have to have a reason to use all their CGI stuff, that's all.
Yeah, but I like the way they've done this. I really love the fact that, that it's a gift from the Time Lords, and I think that they owe him the fact, you know, that he...
Yeah.
you say,
but it still
leaves
something unresolved for me that I thought would be tied into this.
Yeah.
When River gives him all of her regeneration cycles, what happened to those?
They worked themselves, but like you say about the energy, they worked themselves into one life saving thing. It was just channeled in a different area rather than an actual regeneration.
I suspect that we'll see River again.
I don't think we will either.
A regenerated River.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, yeah, and also keep in mind that the Doctor does use some regenerative energy on her hand, and she chastises him for doing that in Angels Take Manhattan. So it may be that he used whatever little energy he had left to do that.
Yeah, but I'm just still a little bit annoyed by the fact that he does regenerate, or start regenerating it at the beginning of The Impossible Astronaut, and the River Song, who knows him very well, does inhibit...
That was special.
No, it wasn't. I disagree. It was a Tesselector at the end.
That's the Selector at the beginning and the end. Astronaut and in Wedding of River Song, it was both, because that's what causes the whole business of Wedding of River Song and the timelines going wrong, and the Doctor had already worked it out, because it's the future Doctor having come back to the past.
You're saying that he managed to get a Tesselector to fake a regeneration?
Yes.
Alright.
It fakes River Song's hair, so it can fake,
what about the fact that River Song, as Mel's, when she just regenerated, gave him a lipstick kiss to kill him that had something impregnated to stop him from regenerating.
I think that's the only one that I can question, because he thought he was going to regenerate, but he knew he was the last.
Well, and for River to give him her regeneration cycles means that she was still fairly young in her regeneration thing.
Well, we know that.
And so why was her regeneration so violent?
Wasn't that violent? That was very quick.
Oh, it was. I mean, she shot in all directions.
Yeah, but the Doctor
didn't blow up the room they're in.
No, it didn't. Though, did
but
it?
She was outside. She was outside.
Yeah,
when she did that.
There was regeneration energy. I just had the Doctor have his first regeneration, which there was a bit of a glow. Obviously, when he got the initial energy, there was all that great big explosion, wasn't there, that destroyed all the Daleks and stuff. But his actual regeneration was a little fuzz of orange, and he was changed. And Mel's had her, which is then her second regeneration to come into River Song, it was a little bit of a... Well, it didn't take long, did it? It was just a little vroom, and she'd sort of just buzz for a little bit and then change.
I still want to know how she got from New York to England.
Although, I will say, though, when she was a baby, when she was a little girl and regenerated, that was a lot more violent when she was in the streets of New York.
Yeah. Also keep in mind that River's not actually a Time Lord. She does have certain abilities that she's picked up traveling through the vortex.
Yes, very good, yes.
So she doesn't have the kind of control over it or whatever, and that male is explaining the violence of it as well. That she's not she's human, she's not supposed to regenerate, so it's going to be violent anyway.
So what I'm getting in conclusion is that whatever it is that's going on, you guys are going to make up an explanation for.
Yeah,
we're talking.
No, because it's always there. You don't make it up. It's in the show.
It's always in the show. That was one of the things. Julia was confused by the show, and she's going, but they didn't explain that, and I had to run it back for her and say, they explained this, they explained this, they explained this, and all over
which
the internet, people were going, people were going, but I'm confused. And Fred, last night, Fred watched it with me, and she was not confused at all. Because everything is explained.
Good on her.
Indeed it was.
I don't think so.
One thing, back to the regeneration thing. We were talking about the Time Lords, we expected that the Time Lords would somehow be involved with giving the new cycles, at least of one regeneration, if not this whole new set. But the other thing I liked
was... The Day of the Doctor was a whole setup to the Time of the Doctor.
Yeah.
One of the things I really liked, remember I'm a great Five Doctors fan, and having that Seal of Rassilon that Master had...
Oh, yes.
I saw that and went, yes!
Although, to be pedantic, it wasn't exactly the same.
No, it wasn't.
I don't care.
Don't do Kirby's job.
Close enough.
It was good. I'm glad they brought that in.
Anyway, back to the story. The Doctor sort of cunningly sends Clara back to her Christmas dinner.
That was very much like Bad Wolf and Parting of the Ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was indeed. But she manages to realise quickly and sticks the key back in the lock just in time.
Good girl.
And then I noticed when he does it the second time, he does the way he says, "I will not do this again." He's already done it, which is why he can say that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we have a little comedy scene of two Sonsarans getting killed. Shouldn't be funny, but it is.
And the Church of the Papal Mainframe apologizes for your death. The relevant afterlives have been notified.
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant.
And I love the fact that they were from Strax's particular batch.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and that's what Dan Starkey said. He loves that they all look like him, because that means he's employed.
They all sound like him as well, because he keeps doing them for Big Finish.
Yes. Oh, yes. The little boy. What's his little boy's name again? I can't remember.
Barnable.
Points to Mary. Yes. No, 2 points to Mary. Well done. And the wooden Cyberman. Yeah, I do love the wooden Cyberman.
Do we get to hold on to these points for when we actually have the quiz?
No. I loved, actually, speaking of the wooden Cyberman, I loved that he told a lie where you're not allowed to tell a lie. Because he did.
It was a she. Hey?
She, yes.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about the Doctor.
Oh, sorry.
He told a lie. Because he sent out the signal to the Cybermen, but it doesn't do wood, so technically he lied, but he was telling the truth at the same time.
Yeah. Right, yeah, he did send the signal. It really would have been a signal that would have worked if it had not been a wooden Cyberman.
Yeah.
Of course, the Doctor himself aged considerably.
Another thing that I liked was to, even though it wasn't the answer I was expecting, was what we finally know what was in room 11 at that hotel.
Oh, yes. I loved that. Yes.
I missed that.
It was the crack.
And I was,
I thought that it was 8.5.
I missed that.
John yes. That, they show him opening the door and then the wallpaper from that, you know, that hotel they're in.
I missed that. Now, thank you for pointing that out to me. I would never have got that.
Yeah, there's the whole montage of clips and whatnot from Series 5 of all the crack and whatnot. And then at the very end of that, they show that scene again. And you finally see what you saw.
Excellent. Anyway, so that was
How many times has everyone seen this?
Twice.
Once and seen certain bits of it 3 or 4 times when I was sending in my feedback that's now not going to get played.
I've seen it 4 times.
Anyway, right, back to the story.
Of course
I love the fact that he gets the Cyberman to shoot himself in the stomach and the hole there, and as you push it over this walking stick. Like I say, the fact that Doctor's getting older.
I liked how he used the walking stick too. He did a good job.
Yeah.
Physically.
He did indeed. But like I say, it was the fact that he's getting older is making you think, he can't regenerate.
I thought that this makeup here worked, was okay. It's certainly, it's the really old age makeup later on that just frankly looks ridiculous. And I think that only works as well as it does because Matt Smith is acting his socks off.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's okay. Yes. I was happy with it either way. What they were trying to do with it. Anyway, so then the TARDIS reappears and I love his sort of reaction to that. What kept you? And he soon realises what kept it was the fact that Clara was hanging on to it for that time. But again,
she played it really well that she'd been in space all that time. But I thought she got over it way too fast.
Yeah, but the fact, and what gets me so good about that scene is for us it's like a couple of minutes, and for Clara probably quite similarly. The Doctor's like really angry and sort of telling off, and then next minute they're just hugging.
So happy she's there.
Yeah, she's over it really quick, even though she looks devastated when she arrives.
No, he's older, but it doesn't make any difference to her. And, of course, that first real proper moving scene of the episode is when Handels dies. And that was just amazing. All it is a prop with life. But he brings that little
Matt
head
Smith,
to life with that scene.
Yeah.
What are the economics of this village? How do they survive? What do they How do they farm without sunlight for 5 minutes a day?
I don't know, Kirby.
Yeah, and constant snow and ice cover.
Food that grows for 5 minutes a day. That's how they grow.
Well, and something else about this town is I think London should be grateful, because isn't London the city that's always under attack at Christmas? But now
they're on another planet.
Yeah, they're safe, but now the town of Christmas is under constant attack.
Yeah, it's okay.
True, for 300 years.
Yeah.
Well, that is another thing. Now the Doctor's age has got to be worked out. He's nearly 2,000 years old after this episode, surely.
Yeah.
He's going to be older than his father-in-law.
I think the acknowledgement in Day of the Doctor that he was lying about his age anyways and didn't know how old he was, and I think that this, between that and this, it whatever his age is now just completely out the window. There's just, I've given up trying to figure it out personally.
Yeah. Well,
whose alarm's going off?
Yeah, whose alarm?
That would be something in the kitchen.
Oh, okay.
With Dinah?
Yeah. Anyway, back to the episode. The Doctor then gets conned out of...
I can't help it.
Okay, thanks. The Doctor then gets conned back into the Church of the Papal Silence, whatever it's called now.
Mainframe.
Because they're all Daleks.
No, they changed their name.
Yeah, they did. There was a faith change.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, an unscheduled faith change.
So they're all Daleks, and again, this is quite sinister, the fact that they were all Daleks. But I quite
shouting your name in this room.
They went back and paid a little bit of a homage to Asylum of the Daleks with this.
Mm. And that a silent had the little eye stalk coming through its head.
That's what she said. Oh, sorry, an eye stalk, sorry.
Ooh. Yes, eye stalk.
I'm going to sort of pause there because a certain person, as you heard, did you hear my little Christmas text message alert just come on? A certain person's just arriving on the show. Logging on was the message.
Oh, my.
Okay.
I'm getting, I'm starting to get a bit of gapping, so I might have to do a reboot after this review anyway, so. My wife is very kindly doing my lunch for me, and I can smell it cooking, so I'm going to have to eat lunch while podcasting. So I do apologise for...
Telling it to rub it.
For future nom-nom noises. right.
Oh, that comes after the nom-nom, Adam.
Yeah, I'm just preparing my gullet for food. Oh, I'll carry on for a bit. Anyway, so basically Clara gets sort of greenily electrified. And threatened because they're trying to get the Doctor. Are they actually trying to get the Doctor to actually say his name to release the Time Lords so they can have the war? I'm a bit confused by this because they want the war to actually happen. I thought they did or didn't. You know, it's
I'm not sure.
I think the Daleks do. Yes, that's right. The Daleks do.
Out the time
The Daleks want it, and because he's in a town that he can't lie in. If he says his name, it's going to be his name. And he said that's a signal to the Time Lords that it's safe to come through.
Yeah. So basically, the Church of the Papal Mainframe don't want that to happen. So that's why they want the Doctor to look after Christmas. But the Daleks infiltrate it and get into the Mother Superioress. But he manages to get her to be herself again for a limited period.
Well, he and Clara manage to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
She kind of drops a hint that you should be brave, and then the Doctor goes, "There you go. That's what you should be doing."
Anyway, so
I don't think it's a limited period. I think that she's managed to permanently suppress that Dalek.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, he told her to fight it, and I think she can.
I thought at the time when Clara was grabbed that was the time that she was going to become one of the Daleks herself to link in with
me
the Daleks.
Me too. I thought that too. Yeah. I was waiting. That's another thing that hasn't been resolved.
No,
is what happened to Oswin Oswald as a Dalek.
Indeed.
But no, that was resolved.
Yeah, they blew up the asylum at the end of the episode. So
at the end of this?
No, at the end of Asylum, at the end of Asylum with the Daleks attacked it, blew it up. So Oswin Dalek is dead.
Yeah,
and then
I want to know how she ended up there to become
She was
a
sent back in time through the Doctor's time period.
Right,
that
was one of the multiple Clara's that went through time.
Yeah, one of the multiple splinters who ended up on the starship Alaska, which then ended up crashing, and she ended up being converted into a Dalek.
Yeah, by the nanny.
Anyway,
thingies.
Thank you for that. Anyway, hello, Ben. Ben.
Oh, silence fell when the question was asked.
Maybe he hasn't got his microphone switched on. That's usually the reason why that when you say hello to someone on Skype, they don't respond. I'll wait for
him. Try saying hello again.
Hello again.
Hello, Ben.
Hello again.
Hello again. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year, everybody.
And Merry Christmas. What did you get for Christmas in regards to Doctor Who then, Ben?
Well, I got the Doctor Who board game.
Were you bored when you played it?
I haven't opened it yet. It's a lovely present, though, thanks to my friend Adam, not you. I got two Doctor Who annuals.
Excellent.
Exactly the same. Great. I got two Alex Ferguson books exactly the same. So I've just been downtown swapping one of them. It's Doctor Who related, Adam.
Is it?
Yes, because I've just been downtown to swap one of them for the Day of the Doctor DVD.
Oh, excellent.
So, there you go. And I also got a set of, well, what could be described as Doctor Who pyjamas, but being 38, they're not really pyjamas. As the label described them, they are evening wear. So next time we get invited out to some great big posh do, I'm going to stick on my Doctor Who pyjamas. I meant evening wear. And regale everyone with my t-shirt that says exterminate on it.
Excellent.
And I think that was all me Doctor Who stuff. Yeah, I think it was actually.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yes, what did everyone else get? Anything interesting?
I'd have to edit out this bit again, so we've already spoken about it. Nobody else got much. I got some t-shirts, what's it called again? It's called a Fourth Doctor time capsule. And a onesie, a TARDIS onesie.
Yeah, I saw your TARDIS onesie, and I'm so glad that nobody bought me a onesie because it would never ever have been worn. Hey, I was just walking through town, right? And there's about five or six gyms in my town, and they normally have little vultures out trying to get you to sign up to them. And one bloke walked up to me and said, "Hey, sir," because I'm a little bit, how do you say at the moment? A little bit maybe overweight, a little bit porky maybe.
And I just celebrated Christmas a lot.
Well, I've been celebrating Christmas for the last 9 months. That's the problem. and his bloke comes up to me and goes, "Oh, how would you like a half-price membership to a gym?" And then I turned full onto him so I could see the size of my gut. And I said, "I'm not really a gym person." He said, "No, you're not, are you?" Oh, you cheeky sod! I'm allowed to say I'm fat. You're not.
Right.
Anyway,
I will say, my lunch has just arrived, so. And it's really delicious. Anyway, right, I'll just tell you where we're up to, Ben. We're up to the bit where the Doctor sort of gets Clara to leave for a second time by using the turkey as a decoy.
Oh, right, yeah.
There was
enough recycled plot lines in that episode anyway, without recycling the plot lines that were already in the episode.
Yes.
So
let's do the same thing twice. Nobody will realise.
That therefore leads up to a great big battle, which is obviously the battle on the field of Trenzor that was referred to earlier in Doctor Who when it was the fall of the 11th, etc., etc.
Which I also find kind of interesting that these, as the enemies have been breaking through and being destructive, and then this big battle's going on, and then Claire's telling everybody, you know, get away, get out of here. I'm thinking, is there anybody left? I would think they'd all be dead by now for
anyway?
All the... Yeah. And why are you all out here? Yeah.
I'm long gone, love, sorry.
Yeah, I would think the town would be empty by now of people.
Yeah. Also, did I see a giant garlic cannon?
They could have gone to a town called Easter.
Yeah. That's right. Yes. On the island.
It's an island.
Yes.
Now, I've just made up a town called Easter.
Why does Clara live in Rose's estate?
Kirby.
Because she does. must be her grand's place.
Yeah, it's her grand's place.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Anyway. But then, of course, she thinks the doctor's come back to see her, but in fact it's the Mother Superior.
Tasha Lim, or whatever her name is. Mm-hmm.
Who looks a little bit like she's wearing a Robin mask.
It's like the worst fancy dress costume ever. I can't be bothered to buy one. I'll paint it on. Yeah. Oh, who are you? Yeah. Can't see.
And also, she looks like
she's naked anyway.
That Dalek thing looks like she's been shot through the head at some point. So, Doctor, basically, she's gone to fetch Clara so the Doctor doesn't have to be alone when he dies. So have you noticed what's all on the wall? Lots of pictures, little similar to the pictures Amelia did.
Or in the tower where he lives, yeah.
I like that he was sitting in front of the crack like it's a fireplace.
That's what she said.
From it.
Maybe I'm wondering if those pictures were sent in from Blue Peter viewers or something.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I noticed some of them had the TARDIS on there when those kids may not have known what the TARDIS was because the TARDIS wasn't there during much of his first 300 years.
Yeah.
Why is it always 300 years with Moffat?
Favorite number?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good number. Same thing with Douglas Adams in 42, I suppose.
Yeah,
Kirby.
Anyway, right. So, yeah, there's a very moving thing. Clara's gone to...
don't hammer me!
All right, shut up. gone to sort of be with the Doctor just as he's as his final hurrah. And all in all, it does build up to quite a good climax. And the fact that she's whispered to the crack, help him. And of course,
that normally only happens when people are drunk, doesn't it?
Which is what basically Clara is there. She's there to save the Doctor, and that's the ultimate saving of the Doctor, really.
I love how grumpy and mumbly he got in his old age. He goes up the stairs saying, "That's the problem with Daleks. I'll probably die of boredom before they shoot me."
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, they always have to say exterminate before they ever exterminate anyone.
Exactly.
Right? At least three or four times before they.
They never say exterminated. Yeah. After shooting him first.
Done ya.
And also that reminds me, that's one of the things they got wrong in Adventures of Space and Time. No Dalek said exterminate in that first Dalek story, yet they referred to it in Adventures of Space and Time. So there you go.
There is one in there that does say exterminate, but not in the type of chanting way we know now.
Exterminate everybody. Just like that.
Anyway,
Daleks always live in the present, so they're not going to talk about the past ever.
So yeah, the Doctor gets given some information
at this point that we all live in the present, not just the Daleks.
And if you were given the house as a present, you'd definitely live in the present, don't you?
Didn't Daleks say exterminate by the time of Dalek invasion of Earth? And they did reference Dalek invasion of Earth in Adventure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so sorry.
Oh. Anyway, right, so basically the crack opens up in the sky the gift of 12 regenerations was given to the Doctor. And he uses...
She looks very happy about it.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Just one cotton-picking minute.
Uh-oh.
Oh, good. Uh-oh. Good, talk away,
you carry on, I can eat my lunch now.
I'm glad I've turned up at this time. I wish I'd turned up a little bit earlier when we were discussing Jenna Coleman being naked in it. I mean, God,
Jesus, I agree with that.
I was sat out by myself on Christmas Day, and they were talking about her being naked, and I'm sitting to myself thinking, hold on, could this be the best Doctor Who ever? No. Anyway... I had some good visions during that. But anyway, yes, so you get her saying, right then. You get Clara saying, right then, Time Lords, help him. Help him. Someone help him. And then after, what must now be at least 1,500 years, if you add up together all the Doctor's timelines, at least 1,500 years, they then decide to go, actually, for the first time in his life, yes, we will. Yes, we will. And then they send down this force field that then... is so strong, he destroys the entire Dalek fleet and everything else, just with his regeneration energy. And then, after all of that, he does a bloody change! He stays as Matt Smith!
I had to reset.
Yeah, I had to reset.
So but does that mean that Matt Smith was the first Doctor of the second timeline of the Doctor?
Yes. The first of... He's like the William Hartnell now of the new run, whereas he was also the last of the old and the first of the new.
What Ben's talking about.
Does that mean Capaldi is now Doctor number two?
Yes.
No.
But, you say quite forcefully there.
I am talking to you, Ben, so...
Okay, you can be forceful. I'll put my hands up in submission.
Yeah. What the younger Matt Smith that we saw just before Capaldi turns in is doing the exact same thing that Tennant's Doctor did in End of Time. It's going back and it's resetting.
Yeah, that's right.
Before it has the regeneration.
And Peter Davison, too.
Yeah, besides, we have to have a Matt Smith Tour de Force goodbye. You know that. That goes on forever.
Yeah, I don't think. I know they did it in End of Time, but I don't think really needed Amelia running around the TARDIS when it wasn't actually her. I like the fact they bought a ghost of Amy back. That was quite a beautiful.
It wasn't a ghost. It was Pond. I've just got to get dinner out of the oven. Hold on.
That brought a lump to my throat when she said, "Good night, Raggedy Man."
That's ending the bedtime story. That was season 5.
Goodbye. Sorry, I got the word wrong.
It was good night.
Yeah, I will say, I will take a 5-minute regeneration scene and that happening over 20 minutes of End of Time and my life I will never get back.
Yeah, I agree. The End of Time thing went on too long. But I quite like this.
Everyone, when I was following Twitter during the original broadcast, everyone was going, oh, that regeneration was so fast. Mm. And then when I actually got around to seeing it, and realized it was not a fast regeneration. It was 5 minutes from the time that
starts. Regeneration was fast. No, that was fast.
You have to change.
Yeah,
the
resetting.
He just didn't go through that, you know, force of light, you know, shooting out of his head and arms and all that.
Right.
Why not?
Because he didn't.
But that's the regeneration that we've been. We've grown to know and love over the last regenerations since.
That's
the,
right.
Yeah, I think they're trying to imply that the regeneration is
different. Every Davis thing, and yet again, Stephen Moffat changes it.
No, I think they were trying to imply that each regeneration is gets more and more violent as it goes on.
I think you're making that all up.
You remember William Hartnell's regeneration, my God, that was easy, wasn't it?
Yeah. And this was almost like that.
Yeah.
I'll say Rivers was like that, and she was not far along in her regeneration cycle.
We just had
good point, Mary. You win.
We just had this conversation.
Yes, 25 or so minutes ago.
I know, and I still say you guys will make up anything.
We're not making anything up. It's in the show.
It's in the show.
Nobody in the show says it's because it's a late regeneration that it's not violent or that it is. Nobody says
because,
that.
Because we see it happen immediately, it is canon. Therefore...
Yes.
Yeah.
But I loved it.
Anyway.
Did you? It was, again, slightly disappointing in the fact that I thought, we're going to get this great big regeneration. He's standing on top of the bell tower, and the bell tower's collapsing.
Now, that's the only thing that I found disappointing.
Bursting out all over the place, and he's shooting Daleks that are flying in the sky, and you're thinking, this is it! Here comes Capaldi! And then it's like, oh, no. I did really love the bit where you see his feet walking up the steps. Footsies. That's a new word I've just invented for Christmas. And you think, here he comes. Yeah. Oh, it's Matt Smith still.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, all it needed was a bit more, you know, 5 more seconds of when he's in the TARDIS.
He's got to make that grand farewell speech first. We don't want the old Matt Smith giving a farewell speech.
I'd say that big thing at the top of the tower was a very big, grand speech. I think that would have been the ideal time to do it. But
we want the young, attractive Matt Smith talking about how he'll always remember this moment and this day
Yes.
Yeah, see? So that fed the fans, you know. Yeah. So you wanted the young Smith.
And I should thank them for that. It was beautiful.
It was a bit of a double... it was unneeded. You didn't need two bits of regeneration storyline.
Well, that wasn't a regeneration. That was a reset and a regeneration.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah. Ah. I could have lived without the using regenerative energy to blow Daleks up and blow a Dalek saucer out of the sky itself.
I could live without that too.
When the Master got his new cycle of regenerations, did we see the first regeneration from the old time stream of the Master, if you like, to the new one?
No, we didn't. The Master was he was resurrected. Mm. From the Matrix.
In the David Tennant ones, he was resurrected,
Yeah.
But what about the classic series?
No, because he was very late in his life, wasn't he?
And we never saw any regeneration.
Well, yeah, that was in Legopolis, wasn't it? Was that Legopolis?
We never actually saw true
No, because he stole somebody's body.
Derek Jacobi.
No. He steals Tremus's body and keeps on talking. We never see a proper regeneration after that point because it goes from Ainley to, I can't think of the actor's name, who plays him for 2 seconds at the beginning of the TV movie and then turns into a snake thing that gets into Eric Roberts, and then we don't see the master again until Derek Jacobi. And
we see the regeneration, but that's when he's going to be so far down his timeline. Fair enough. We didn't see that. I was just seeing if there was trying to think if there was some sort of standard to go against for it, but obviously if there was, it wouldn't matter because Moffat would do what he wanted to try and make himself look good.
Last night, while watching with Fred, she actually cried out with this big shriek when Capaldi's face showed up, even though she knew that it was going to be Capaldi. But that's his face just startled her. Yeah. With his bugged out eyes.
That's the only thing that disappointed me a little bit, that there wasn't, you didn't see the face morph. It was very quick. They did do it in a way he was still glowing when his face appeared, but you didn't see a morphing between the two doctors. That's the only thing that disappointed me.
Didn't bother me at all.
Doesn't he realise that people like me, I don't know how many of you lot as well, think, hold on a minute, just do the story properly. Have a proper regeneration.
Yeah. I didn't think that, because he did do it properly.
He didn't do it properly. Flicking your head back and flicking it forward. I do that when I'm doing my hair in the morning and my head and my face doesn't change.
Yeah, and Matt was getting rid of his wig so that his new hair could grow out from under it. That was fine.
Oh, and I love the music. I love the music that they play when Capaldi shows up. Very lighthearted, energetic music, and I kind of hope that's going to be his theme. Mm.
Mm. Oh no, I have to keep the one they've got already. That's gorgeous.
Well, the thing is, he's got loads of clothes all over the floor, yet he comes up wearing the clothes he's just thrown all over the floor.
He was wearing the stuff from the snowmen, which is different than his usual costume throughout the actual episode.
Yeah, he changed into his regular purple coat thing.
Actually suits Capaldi too, I've got to say.
I want to see Capaldi walking around in a Man United shirt.
So are bow ties no longer cool?
He threw it on the floor. How can it be cool? It's been floored. I'm surprised you didn't burn it.
But anyway, that for me, I did like this whole scene. It was really good, beautifully done. The only thing that slightly disappointed me is the fact you didn't see the face more. I liked the regeneration. Apart from that, there was only like a couple of frames they could have done to do a little morphing. You know, like they did, like they disappointed me with the, they could have put a bit of a, like somebody on YouTube did, a bit of the change into Eccleston that they did with the War Doctor. Yeah. They could have just a couple more frames. Just a couple of frames of their faces changing.
Let me interject something that I'm going to make up now, because it's a new cycle of regenerations, and this fits in with what you all were saying. They were getting more prolonged and violent as he got older. Well, this is a brand new cycle, so maybe it is.
I don't mind that, but... Even if it wasn't violent, we could have seen the face change.
What I didn't like about the scene was that it focused so much on Amy, and then it felt like they're shoving Clara and Jenna to the side saying, here's Karen Gillan, everybody, let's celebrate her. Let's forget the new girl.
Doesn't her hair look like a wig?
She was only in it for 10 seconds, so I didn't get that feeling at all that Jenna Louise Coleman was just being pushed to the side. It was between
she Karen was in it for 10 seconds, but there she kept saying Clara asked who's Amelia, and he ignored her and just kept watching her running around the TARDIS, and I thought that they were deliberately
he said that was the first face I saw when I regenerated.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, there is the line there. And then Karen Gillan shows up, and then he takes the bow tie off. It's sort of, I guess, the symbolic ending of the era, and then he changes.
Yeah.
I still think they
ignore Clara. And he did say, actually, he did say, any second now I'm going to change, and it was very literally like that, wasn't it?
So. Yeah.
You know, there were more people wearing wigs in that last scene than not wearing wigs.
So true.
But it was quite well done, because I didn't know that Karen Gillan was going to be in this, so I thought that was quite
quite well done. The fact they kept that quiet.
Was a nice surprise, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
I'd read the rumor that they thought that people thought Tom Baker was going to be in that scene, because I remember reading it. I think it was the Doctor Who archive that said that somebody special is going to be at the end of it. And there was all kinds of speculation that it was going to be either John Hurt or it was going to be really Tom Baker.
I'm just watching that regeneration now. Right, so basically, his head goes back, and then there's a flash, and he comes forward. It's just slightly cut, but you don't see the face morphing. You feel it's the same. It is the Doctor, but it's just that it cuts the way they've done it. They could have done it actually with the same camera angle and just having lean back out of camera shot, lean forward with a different face, and it would have worked probably just as well, even though he didn't see the morphing. But in fact, as he shuts his eyes, and I'll just watch it again. She tries to touch his hand. And he goes, and it just doesn't look right because the way
it's I don't care. I think it's fine.
That's fine.
It didn't bother me at all.
It's fine by me. It's not the exploding, I'm going to destroy the entire.
I'm just worried about the fact that we don't see his face change. I was very disappointed at the end of the Caves of Androzani when we don't see the Fifth Doctor's face change. Or the beginning of Time in the Rani where we don't see the proper face change between the 6 and 7, which we really couldn't do much about. Seeing the Doctor's face change.
Yeah, in that case, somebody did go back and fix it, because that's an Easter egg on the Time of the Rani DVD. They went and they CGI'd Colin Baker's face in, so there is a proper regeneration, but it's an Easter egg. You have to look for it.
My pudding's just arrived.
Anyway.
Kidneys. So, right then, so that's basically the end of the episode.
Yes.
I did like the fact that we get to see a bit of Capaldi.
He's got his accent, too. I love that.
Yes.
Right.
Not keen.
Oh, God.
Never mind.
When are you keen on
new? I'm just going to say what I thought of it. I didn't think it was as good as the 50th anniversary special, but what was good about it was the fact that Matt Smith was absolutely amazing. It was okay. It's not the best regeneration story ever, but it was okay. I enjoyed it. I'm glad it was just a one-part regeneration story rather than last time we had the end of time, which was two, which I didn't like the fact it was just a bit too long. This one, for me, it was enjoyable.
For me, it was only just the best episode of Doctor Who on Christmas Day this year. Only just.
This year.
I was disappointed by the regeneration thing. I thought the storyline dragged. I thought plots were being reused over and over again. It was quite dull, and the only thing that kept me interested was General Louise Coleman maybe being naked underneath her clothes.
Okay, right. Mary.
We're all naked underneath our clothes.
Well, I neither loved it or hated it. I'm on the fence about it. It's not the best Christmas episode, but I knew going into it that it was going to be, as I said, a tour de force for Matt Smith saying goodbye.
Yeah.
So the fact that it dragged like it did, and Moffat was going to try to fit in everything he could to tie up his era, I just knew that was coming, so I just kind of sat back and let it happen. But
I did see your comment of meh. Was that in relation to this episode?
That's my reaction. It was like, it's okay.
That's the best review I've heard of it so far, Mary.
It's all right.
Best review I've heard of it, meh.
Right, Reese. Reese.
That's okay.
What I liked about it was it wasn't like the end of time when, I think it was in the first part, David Tennant started saying, well, I'm going to die, isn't this sad, mope.
I agree.
Whereas Matt Smith was being his usual bubbly self at the beginning of the episode, talking to handles and things like that, and he was having a lot of fun with it, you could tell. And then he only started getting really upset towards the end, kind of when he was sitting in front of the crack like it was his fireplace, but then he got a new lease of life along with the regeneration cycles, and he got all that energy and then started going downhill again when he realized that this is it for this face. He's going to be a new man. So I really liked that they didn't make it, I'm sorry, David Tennant, but really mopey like he was. And I got really sick of the Doctor in the end of time. And I shouldn't really be sick of the guy whose name is in the show, pretty much. I liked it. I thought it was good. I've got lots of problems with it. But Matt Smith, Louise Coleman, and how it wrapped up all the questions for the past 3 years was enough to carry me through it.
Yeah, I will say, you know, you can mention that, obviously comparing it to the previous regeneration. The problem I had with the end of Tennant was the fact it didn't really suit Tennant's incarnation, the fact that he certainly turned into a bit of a cowardly, mopey, sulky Doctor, because yeah. Wasn't him. He was always upbeat and very brave and a proper hero. And right at the end,
he didn't want to go.
I know he didn't, because he said so.
Actually, can I say something about that that line? I used to hate it, but Adam Purcell from Staggering Stories pointed out that he could have let himself die because of the radiation poisoning, and he's instead of saying, "I don't want to go," as in, "I don't want to regenerate," he was actually saying, "I don't want to die," so he'll let himself regenerate. And it puts a new light on that regeneration for me.
Okay.
Fair enough. I was taken the wrong way.
Kirby.
I liked it. It's not my favorite Christmas special, but I liked it. I didn't really have it. There's one or two very minor problems with it, and they're extremely minor, like how the economics of that village. Other than that, I thought they explained everything, and it was fun.
It was fun. I agree.
The worst Christmas special is still Dr. Widow and the Wardrobe.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah,
which is absolute rubbish.
We'd agree.
But this one was fine. I liked it.
Didn't anyone feel it was really, really rushed?
Lots of things into it. They did.
No, I felt
as many answers as we can into an hour episode, as well as getting the Doctor regenerated. It was just much. The fact that they were trying to answer all these questions that have been coming. Yeah, but they've been trying to answer all these questions that we've been waiting for answers for 3 years, and they answered it in one sentence. Like everything was wrapped up by going, that's because of this. All right, fair enough.
I felt it dragged. I found myself at times saying, "Get on with it."
Get on with it.
Have you finished, Kirby?
Yeah, I finished.
Okay, Matthew.
It was okay. I think what the problem with it is that it suffers from exactly what the Wedding of River Song suffered from. It tries to do, I think, too much far too quickly. And I think watching the various village battles in the village, I couldn't help but be reminded of something I saw recently on YouTube, where in the late 1980s, the first four episodes of Blake 7 were edited down into a two-hour compilation video, and it felt very disjointed. You can tell it had been edited down. And this feels like several episodes with their big moments sort of just glued together. And in tone, it's all over the place, especially in the opening minutes. Maybe that's because misleading, as we said, caused plans to be brought forward, and what we're seeing is glimpses of what would have been Series 8 with him. I don't know, and I don't think that even if that was the case, it would excuse those issues with it. I'm happy that a lot of these plot threads that have been hanging in the air were finally dealt with. I'm happy that it was just dealt with, as I said earlier, as a couple of throwaway lines and not as this whole 10 or 15 minute production number. Though I do wonder if it could have been done in a way that would have been slightly more satisfying. I think whatever the issues with it, though, Matt Smith was fantastic in this. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say it was his best Who performance, but it was a really strong final performance from him as well.
I was going to say that Karen Gillan acts older, better than he does.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose you're right.
You're right. I'd agree.
That's the thing that I got in the part, though, the fact that he was able to act an old man in a young person's body.
Yeah. And we got to see him in the end playing an old man. And I was happy with the fact that this doctor, at the end, accepted the fact he was going to die. He doesn't do the whole Tennant Doctor thing of going in, if I may quote Dylan Thomas, rage against the dying of the light, and just, you know, as we said, turn into a mopey emo, for lack of a better word, and just become downright unlikable. I think what redeems it for its faults is the regeneration scene. And as I said, I like the fact that he accepts it and he doesn't go through all the melodrama. And in fact, the regeneration scene here reminded me far more of the Eccleston regeneration in Parting of the Ways, with him comforting his companion and embracing the change while saying goodbye both to the companion and to us as viewers as well, and the way it kind of revisits things without dragging you down into a 20-minute long sequence that's making you rip your hair out going, "Get on with it."
Get on with it.
Yeah, I mean, but it was only the Tennant one that was like that. All the others were similar in the fact that he just accepted he's going to regenerate, or he's just dying and had to regenerate, and it was his only way out. So the Tennant one was the only one in which the Doctor said, well, I wonder. But it did in some ways suit the character, like when the Doctor was explaining that he was on his last life, and he was going for each regeneration, and he mentioned the fact that the Tenth Doctor, or the Tenth Him, used up a regeneration to keep the same face.
He had vanity issues,
yeah. Which, again, yeah. The fact that he ends up saying, I don't want to go, because he doesn't want to change his face. That works quite well.
I'll sum up very quickly by saying it's not the worst finale by any means, and I'll take it over Last Time Lords, End of Time, or Wedding of River Song any day, though this could have been much better as well. Welcome aboard, Mr. Capaldi, and to Matt Smith. So long, and thanks for all the fish and custard.
Absolutely, yes. Well done, Matt Smith.
I've got to throw in there. No, I completely disagree with quite a lot of that. I think that the End of Time part, just for a change, End of Time part 1 and 2 were the ultimate regeneration episode. I quite liked the flying around saying goodbye to all the companions that he'd seen throughout that face, or those faces, as he had it twice. You know, it was a proper regeneration at the end of it. This one was just a little bit like, I also thought Matt Smith looking old was just rubbish. I mean, just glue cotton wool on his face and pretend he's Father Christmas with a beard. I mean, it just looked rubbish.
I agree.
I don't think he acted any differently old as he did young. It was the same Matt Smith. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that shows that the character stays the same even though the face changes. And in this case, the face really had changed. But it just looked rubbish. I thought it was completely unnecessary. Why he has to stay there for 300 years and not 10 years? Why not 3,000 years? I mean, it just grated with me that. I didn't think it was anywhere near as good as The End of Time. I thought that's probably one of my favourite, if not my favourite, revival Who episode.
I like End of Time as well. It's one of my favourite episodes, actually. But I acknowledge the fact that plot-wise, End of Time is a train wreck. It's Russell T. Davies throwing things together in the desperate hope of putting together a cohesive story, which he does not. And turning
you
the time.
I think he does. I think it's a good story in The End of Time.
So it's disjointed. He's throwing things together randomly. He's hoping it works together, and he turns the Time Lords into overglorified suicide bombers, for crying out loud.
Just to avert a fight.
Hello there, this is Colin Baker, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And doesn't make... I'll do it again.
Are we back?
I'm back.
Nearly.
I'm front and sides, if anyone wants to know.
Hey, that's my joke.
Hold on, I'm stealing it.
Ben's back. Just waiting for
just finishing off a phone call. Hold on. Yeah, and then what you need to do is make the next
How
one
about
really
this phone
old.
Call?
Make him really old and make him really cranky.
Oh,
yeah, and then when he comes to regenerate, make it really crap. Yeah, all right, Stephen. Yeah, if you need any more tips,
unlike
mate, just give me a
time
call.
Of the Doctor, then that's what it needs to
be. Worry. Yeah, the next one should be called the dishwasher of the Doctor. All right, cheers, Stephen. Bye bye. Sorry, just my mate Moffat on the phone. I respect him greatly.
Giving him a few tips, eh?
Well, someone's got to.
Make it the complete opposite of time of the Doctor.
He clearly runs out of ideas.
I've got a limited time, but thank you. Welcome back, everyone. Right, I just wanted to sum up by saying that our reactions rather echo the reactions that I've seen online. It's it's a bit of a Marmite episode.
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, because Marmite, you either love it or you hate it.
Exactly.
And I know for me, I'm halfway.
I've never had Doctor Who on toast. What are you talking about?
I'll be quiet. Right. We're going to move on to feedback now, because unusually there's quite a lot of it and we haven't got much time left.
I'm not surprised, since you went and posted it on every Doctor Who Facebook group you're a member of.
There you go. That's effort. That's me putting effort in. Matthew, right there. I'm just waiting for my Mac to reboot in relation.
Has your dog got a microphone round its collar? Because that's what it sounds like.
No, that's Matthew. That's Matthew's.
Matthew, why don't you mute? Can you mute your microphone?
Well, when you're not speaking, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, when you're not speaking.
I was going to say, otherwise, why are we bothering to have him on?
There.
Why don't we all just mute our microphones the entire time?
All right, I'm going to...
Right, I'm just...
sorry, I was plugging the laptop in. I remembered I tracked down. I remembered I had the cord sitting in the car, so I was plugging it in real quick. Sorry about that.
So am I right in saying you didn't hear the "can you mute your microphone when you're not speaking" instruction?
Oh, sorry.
What you could try is just reverse the polarity and it might work better.
Allow me to explain to Matthew, because that sounds like we're being a bit rude. Basically, Matthew, there's a lot of background noise at your end. Well, that sounds a bit rude, doesn't it? It's coming through. So obviously, please remember when you do speak to switch, unmute it though. Otherwise, I don't know.
I get what you're saying, Adam.
Yeah. Okay, well,
Adam, when you talk, mate, try and say words instead of a shit. It really helps the conversation.
Shut up. Right then. First of all, I'm going to welcome new members to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, and then we'll try and fit in the messages we have for our 200th episode.
200?
Did I mention it's our 200th episode?
Yeah, I knew it was our 200th. I've been counting.
Just a reminder, listeners, there's an Easter egg at the end of the last episode, 199, which is a montage of random clips from the previous 199 episodes. So that's good fun, I think. I enjoyed listening back to that.
Oh, it was great.
Stephen Moffat's calling again.
It's more than an Easter egg.
Right then, let's welcome Adam Womack twice. I don't quite know how he managed to get on twice, but nevertheless, he's there. Richard West, Jordan Flintoff, Kathy Sirois, David McWhirter, J.D., oh dear, Osinico, that's very bad, Megan Clark, Thomas Cookson, Sharon Herr, Grady Glover, and Nikki Crawford. Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, inflating our membership to 260.
Adam has mispronounced your name. Just realised that one of our long-time best contributors, he mispronounced for a very long time.
Oh, very good. Yes, thank you very much.
Remember when we used to say Jeff Waddell and it was actually Jeff Waddell?
Did you hear the clip where I was asking people to join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group and there was only four people on it?
Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was me, Alicia. Yeah, go on.
Can I just want to give a quick shout out? Tom Cookson and Grady Glover are friends.
A quick what? Sorry? You said you want to give a quick what?
Oh, dear God.
Shout out. Sorry, I didn't come across like that. I do apologise. Carry
on. I'm fixing to shout at the laptop and look very strange in a restaurant lobby at the right this
Go on.
I'd like to give a quick shout out to Tom Cookson and Grady Glover, are both friends of mine who started listening to the show because of me. So I just wanted to welcome them to the group on the show.
Yes.
I wanted to do.
Right. Here we go. Okay. Let's see if I can get this.
And now mute your microphone again.
Yes.
He's
done it. I did. Yes, he had. He tell he'd muted it. Thank you, Kirby. Right then, let's see if this will work. Oh, God, I do love technology. You'll know who it's from as soon as you hear it.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Hello.
There was an Irish comedian called Dave Allen who used to have a TV comedy show.
He did a sketch
where a priest was chased by a Dalek-type creature. He ran into the confessional, which then dematerialised with a TARDIS sound. Tasha Lem's Transmat reminded me of that.
Oh, yeah, yes, of course.
The clip on.
Handles is the strange companion since K9. Affirmative.
Mm-hmm.
There was a part of a charity telethon where Matt Smith seemed to take off his clothes to auction them, and then he claimed he had replaced them with holographic clothes. Clara has a new family. This might be another version of the Impossible Girl. The Doctor slapped Clara's bottom when he was introduced to them.
Yes, sexual harassment.
About that.
Yeah.
Not even the podcast who said they have never heard of it. Yeah. There are too many references to previous episodes to mention them all. Clara asked the Silent how she had forgotten it, as Amy had done. She was surrounded by angels in the forest, like Amy. The Doctor tricked her into entering the TARDIS so she would be safe, like Amy.
Likewise.
Matt's first and last episode had a crack in the wall.
Like Amy.
The Doctor used regeneration energy to shoot his enemies,
like
River Song did in Let's Kill Hitler. I was staying with relatives over Christmas.
Like
some teenage girls said that Capaldi was too old before they saw the episode. When they saw him at the end, the eldest said, "He looks like a ferret. Ugh."
Like it? No,
I
not like it.
I have some jokes. How many Sontarans did it take to change a light bulb?
57.
10,001.
Close.
One to hold the light bulb, and the rest of the battle fleet to turn the entire planet around him. Alicia, she drinks, so you don't have to. If it takes 400 years to calculate how to resonate a wooden door, how long would it take to Sonic the Hedgehog? The Americans do not have chocolate digestive biscuits. I don't think they can be taking the pursuit of happiness all that seriously.
Mm,
how many time lords does it take to change a light bulb?
500.
There is no need. They can keep travelling back in time to before the bulb needed changing.
Ooh.
Ooh. Knock, knock. Who's there?
Who's there?
Daleks. Daleks who? We ask the questions. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Ian. Actually, I can buy chocolate digestive biscuits at my local Kroger.
Well, I thought you were going to say that, Kirby. Reese, did you think Kirby was going to say that?
This won't surprise you, but so can I.
I thought he was going to say that, Adam.
Yeah, it's not funny, that. Right.
Also, I posted that Dave Allen clip on the Facebook page because I remember that they used to show Dave Allen at large on PBS.
That was a good series. That was right. Let's see if we can get it to work. This is from Dinos Daniel, and it goes.
Dinos!
Oh wait, see, he's written in a script. I don't know if he's. Hang on, let's see what happens. I'll click on this and see if it's an audio link. Oh, no, it's a link to a Facebook page, which is obviously photos from the Australian convention, I think he went to.
Oh.
So I'll have to read now. There we go. Good day, Adam, and the rest of the 20 Megabyte podcast team. Congratulations
G'day.
On your 200.
G'day.
That's way more than any English batsman can get, you.
All right, I'm going to have to interject at this point. If we're going to start slagging off the English cricket team, I'm going to have to start joining in because we've been bloody bad. Apart from last night, actually, right. For Podgrammers, first day of the fourth test, we did all right.
But you put down on KP as a knob on Facebook.
He is a knob. He attacks too much. He's such a good batsman. He's better than he's showing. And consistent. Let's not talk about cricket, is it?
Back to the...
Let's
back
talk
to
about
the...
Doctor Who.
Kirby, what did you think?
Shush. Right, I thought I would send in a report and some pictures for your enjoyment. The day started with Jamie Fraser-Hines and Captain Yates, Richard Franklin, QA, and A, sorry. Very funny, full of jibes and nice stories. Next up was Victoria Waterfield, Deborah Watling, and Zoe Herritt, Wendy Pabry, question and answers. And funny and a bit about Pat. Deborah, I can hear myself coming back. Deborah was almost in tears about Doctor Who fan support. Then some idiot asked about Pat's death. Next up was Perry Brown, Nicola Bryant, and Vise Law Turlough, Mark Strickson. Nicola was picky over how you pronounce her name, Gulp, but was good fun and defended her doctor. Last but not least was Grace Holloway, Daphne Ashbrook, family member, God of the show. I think that's the next up from family member, isn't it? And the eighth doctor, Paul McGann.
In her case, yes.
Paul was his usual cool, laid-back dude self, and Daphne was her usual hyper self. Good fun. I asked Paul about what it was like being in the five-ish doctors, and he said he wasn't in it for long and how much fun Peter and the others had making it. Photos next, and when I got mine with Nicola, I called her Nicole. Oh, dear.
Oh no!
I only got away with it and got a nice picture because I told her she was a little bit older than me, but looked 20 years younger. You creep! Oh, but I've done that myself, actually. After only starting going to conventions earlier this year, it was nice to go and get heaps of greetings from all my new friends. Doctor Who is a way of life. The time of the Doctor, well, it's a Christmas special, so I'll forgive it a bit. Dislikes. I did not like turning my Doctor into an old man with a walking stick, throwing my mockery of Capaldi back at me. Complicated storyline. I am not sure I have my head around yet. Amy's crack appearing again. Oh, dear. I thought when the Pandora...
I saw a picture of that online, actually. I'm not sure if it was her or not.
Ooh,
I
thought
fake.
That when the Pandora crashed into exploding, the TARDIS fixed that. Clara's family was doing with that. Clara's family was... I don't know. Oh, with a question. mark at the end of that. Likes, handles was different, and a companion, companion to the 11th Doctor in his darkest times. My Doctor speeches, still got it, baby. Clara beautiful and saving the day, as a good companion should. Best regeneration wipeout ever. P.S. Not all attached photos are mine, only the paid ones are mine. And there's a link to his thing on Facebook, which I hope he's posted to the 20 megabyte group. And then he says,
I don't remember seeing it.
Well, we'll have to sort that out.
No, I haven't seen it either.
We'll have to sort that out. All the best and hope everyone had a good Christmas. Dino. Thank you, Dino.
Thanks, Dino.
Yes, thanks, Dino. And I don't know where you posted your pictures, but I haven't seen them.
Yes. In the post box.
Right. got a message from Lady Soliloquy. She says, congrats on your 200th episode, Lady S. Mm. That's probably one of the shortest emails we've ever had, but it still counts. Patrick Bishop. Nicest. Patrick Bishop has sent in this.
Ooh. Hello to everyone at the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Boxing Day.
Mary Lang.
Whatever is applicable to you. This is Patrick from North Hollywood, California, with my feedback for the Christmas special, the Doctor Who Christmas special. You know, I have such mixed feelings about this episode. I really enjoyed watching it.
Welcome to the club.
It's so hard to put it without being negative. I'm not negative about it at all, but the story was just bad. It wasn't a good story. I think it was the weakest Christmas special. I think it was the weakest regeneration story. But it had such wonderful moments, such really, really great moments. I guess I'll start off and talk about what I found confusing or didn't like. I didn't really get the whole, the whole church alien tie-in with the priestess, and obviously is an old flame of the Doctor. Didn't see what that was about. They all end up being killed by the Daleks and turned into those, humanoid Daleks. And one thing that was very confusing is, you saw the silence early on, and you see Clara with the silence, and she's looking at him and forgetting them. You're like, oh, they're going to factor into the story, because of the crack and the silence, and silence will fall. And maybe I missed it, but other than showing the silence for a couple of scenes, it didn't really factor anything. They were just one of the other aliens down on Transalore fighting it out with everybody else. They didn't really have the Doctor never encountered them at all. He was dealing with Daleks most of the time. It was just weird, kind of like a red herring. I just thought that it was unnecessarily confusing. I've watched it a second time, and yes, it does get better on rewatch. Some things I think were wrong, like the aging of Matt Smith, and having that section of it. I didn't understand why you would do that. I mean, the makeup was as good as I guess you can get it based on the budget of the show. It wasn't as horrible as some people are saying, but it wasn't great. So I think if it's not great, if you can't really pull it off, you shouldn't do it. So they should have found this out during camera tests that it wasn't that super convincing. But I don't think it was horrible. So as I said on the post on the Facebook page, I think this episode, even though it's the weakest regeneration episode, I mean, think about stories like Legopolis or Caves of Androzani or even Parting of the Ways. I mean, this story just doesn't even come close. It's the weakest story, but the best really final moments of any Doctor. I mean, the speech he gives, or the soliloquy he gives to Clara about
soliloquy?
Not forgetting this version of himself is eloquent and touching, and it's everything Matt Smith. It was awesome. It made up that those few minutes of him speaking made up for all the other BS of this story. It pulled it together for me. It made it worthwhile sticking to the end. And unless you're like someone who just absolutely hates the Amy Pond character, when she shows up to say goodbye to him, I mean, it had to like make you at least misty-eyed. I know it did for me. So, a lot of mixed feelings about this episode, as I'm sure a lot of people have. You know, it's just weird. I mean, I loved a lot of things about it. I also didn't like a lot of things about it, and a lot of things didn't make sense, and seemed so like, what's up with Clara's family being a different family from? I mean, her parents are different parents from when we, you know, when we see your parents before. I don't know. I don't get it. It's interesting how Stephen Moffat, you know, addressed a lot of the fans' speculation about the regeneration issue. And, you know, he gets this magical renewal of regenerations. He confirms that he only has 13 and he's used them all. So to end fan speculation. And so he gets the little zap from the crack. That didn't sound very and now either he gets a new 14th one, or maybe he's starting from zero. We don't know. I'm sure we'll find out in the future. He also addressed the exploding TARDIS, you know, with the, you know, the priest, high priestess, you know, exploding the TARDIS. Still don't understand what that means. I guess I'll have to watch it a third time and really concentrate on what they say, because they explain it all, the exploding TARDIS, in 90 seconds, basically. So I think it's just it was just a Moffat, just like you, kind of spackling over some of these seeming plot holes in his continuity. Yeah, another thing I said on that Facebook page, I like Stephen Moffat. I think he's very creative. I think he's a good writer. But what I've noticed in a lot of Doctor Who fandom, not a lot, but a certain vocal minority, they seem to think that he saved the show, and that RTD was like, her stories were bad or hokey, or was too much of this and too much of that, and Stephen Moffat, you know, came to the rescue, and now his writing is so much better. I don't think you can watch this episode and say he's, you know, that he's that great of a writer as Russell T. Davis for Doctor Who. I mean, he's brilliant with Sherlock. I'm not going to question his chops there. But for Doctor Who, you really can't say he's that much better than RTD. They're both different writers. And I just wish people would stop slagging off RTD. Without, you know, his stories and him shepherding the project. Like, you wouldn't, Moffat would never have gotten a shot, you know. Anyway, that's just my little side rant. But you know what? After having said all that negative stuff, I would highly recommend this episode. I mean, it is Doctor Who, and as I said before, you know, bad Doctor Who is better than 99% of the stuff that's on TV. And this is not even bad Doctor Who. It's just bad elements of Doctor Who. So I would not show this episode to someone just getting into Doctor Who. This is just for the hardcore fans only. Indeed. But, so we see Capaldi, and I like the way we did the Flash regeneration. It wasn't like, it wasn't drawn out. Another quick thing I was confused on. I thought Matt was regenerating when he was down on when he was up in that little tower, and you know, he blew up the Dalek ship with his regeneration power.
Dalek.
I thought he was regenerating then. So I was really confused when he shows up in the TARDIS looking young again. I'm still not sure why that is. I know he explained that it's going to happen or soon or whatever. But yeah, I don't know how when you regenerate, you all of a sudden become into a massive like. Battlestar Galactica weapon to take out Dalek space cruisers.
He did destroy the TARDIS with his previous one.
I'm just a viewer. Yeah. I'm just a Doctor Who fan. Anyway, I hope you guys had a great Christmas. I've rambled on way too long. This is my longest feedback ever. I don't want to take up too much time on the show. And we will speak again. Hopefully we'll start reviewing some older episodes now that we have a long, long wait for Capaldi. I like his entrance. I think he's going to be really cool. I think he's going to be great. I can sense a little Tom Baker in him, even for the few seconds I saw of him. I hope he follows through. I know that Matt channeled the second Doctor when he was, you know, thinking of his character. I hope Capaldi is channeling a little bit of Tom Baker in his. I can only hope. Anyway, you guys have a great day. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Patrick.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Patrick. I love his description of Moffat spackling over plot holes.
he was answering questions.
I'm glad to see it's not only me that thinks all that about Stephen Moffat.
Stop arguing.
Please note, I've left.
We're not arguing, we're discussing. Okay. Just like Moffat answers questions.
We have, that was a brilliant bit of feedback. Very long, but it was very, very good. Thank you very much, Pat.
Yeah.
Thanks,
that was good.
We have one more, even longer piece of feedback. And guess who this is from? Wow. Get the bottles of wine ready, because it's Andy and Dawn.
Keep them away from Alicia.
It's 6:55 p.m. on Boxing Day evening. I'm sitting in the lounge with a laptop, desktop still being rebuilt.
This is crackly.
The lovely Dawn is in the kitchen preparing our
I'll have to turn it up.
Boxing Day feast of gammon and Warwickshire Wizard sausages. It's a Nunny family tradition. If I can pause a moment and just ask you to raise whatever you have near to you to would have been my parents' 58th wedding anniversary today, so well, my dad. Hey. Miss you. Love you.
Peace to them.
However, I've got a glass. Oh, Dawn's just. Dawn's coming in. She's been taking her clothes off. Oh, she's dropped her sunglasses on the floor. She's picking them up. Oh, she's keeping the clothes on. Just a, yes. She, yes, I'm getting looked at quite.
Visual jokes.
Is anyone else okay, totally
over 40,
lost?
Don't get excited, folks. Well,
me.
Visual jokes work on the podcast, don't they?
Anyway, right, so more serious matters. Yeah, well, obviously the most important thing is, what do I have in my hand here? It's a glass of Australian...
I don't know about that.
Press balls, press balls!
Australian, if you find West Australian, I'm afraid, Robert. So let's see what this is like.
It's soft and squidgy.
It's a dried...
It's just fat everywhere.
Thin, to be honest. It's not much of an aftertaste, you know. It doesn't seem to be tripping along my tongue, really, you know. It's
God.
Yeah, it'll do, I think.
We'll Adam, you know there is a fast-forward button.
No, there isn't.
I think he'd like the Clara.
So I think we'll have that. But anyway, that's obviously the most important thing. But then we get on to, last night's episode. And my God, has this really split fandom completely down the middle? I mean, as I posted on Facebook earlier today, I mean, this really has... This is a real Marmite episode. There are people for this is a very good episode, and it's a good send off for Matt Smith, and Stephen Moffat is obviously doing a very good job, and other ones whom it's like hell had broken loose, this is the end of it, and it really has divided fandom, and I don't think I've ever seen comments on Facebook that really really shows you the divergence of opinion. Now, to my mind, well, I watched it twice. I watched it first last night, and I must admit, I had a few drinks, and I didn't quite focus on it. Also, we had the problem that we had a comfort break, and I hit pause, and then when I came back and hit play again, I managed to hit the wrong button, so we lost about 5 minutes of it. So perhaps those bits, they didn't quite make sense. I watched it again this morning while I was doing the ironing, and also we were repairing some of my jeans. They domesticated me, so, you know, having lived on me for 7 years before meeting the lovely Dawn, I suppose I had to, really. I was coming from a big family, being one of five, you know, you had to
get back on track.
But anyway, this morning, though, it did make a lot more sense, and it seemed to be more coherent. I think it's one of these episodes that there is... I agree, they probably was too much put into that. There was all the loose ends that had to be tied up, you know, really going back from you know, Amy's crack, going back in. It's interesting that's when I sat and walked for about an hour on Christmas Eve, because I couldn't get into work because
of
the floods in Surrey. Couldn't make it to work, couldn't make some pause. Actually disappointing. But I do think Steve Moffat then did leave himself too much to do. Perhaps he would have benefited, perhaps, if he got an hour and a half out of it. He could have tried to pace it a bit better. But I think it was too rushed. There was simply too much to put in. But what he did put in, he did close down a lot of the loose ends for me, at least. You know, with what the crack was, now it makes sense, the Gallifrey is now in the parallel universe that the 13 Doctors sent into there. So therefore, that's what they were trying to come through from there. So that's explained. We had Madame Vastra being explained. I thought, lovely line for her, you know, it's easy flying the TARDIS, it's difficult flying the Doctor. So again, you got that closed down. You saw young Amelia, and you saw Amy herself, so no doubt Adam J. Purcell was in ecstasy.
Was Reese.
Well, and Reese as well, because I do think you both sort of... do burn a candle for that particular young lady, and quite rightly too.
And something.
She's rather attractive. Oh, God. Not so attractive, lovely Dawn, and I think could be. So I can understand that. Now, I like the way he became the sheriff, and this just throws back, I think, a little to the town called Mercy, doing it a similar way, where, you know, he's a new sheriff in town, I'm the Doctor. And there's him protecting the town of Christmas, although it was a bit of a mess by the end of it, hasn't it? But it's interesting the fact that what I did like was the fact that there really was the ultimate Mexican standoff. Nobody dared, none of those racers standing outside, dared to be first to go in to whatever planet was. And as soon as it said Trenzlor, my God, it's the 4th of the 11th, everything started to connect up and to make sense. So that, to me, did work, and that's where I did like it, and it did close down the Matt Smith era that has been running for, what, 3-4 years now. It was interesting, reading the Telegraph, reading the review, and also reading on other things online. For a non-fan, a lot of it wouldn't have made sense, and I think that's possibly why, you know, it will not go down as one of the best episodes ever. And quite right, you know, it wasn't brilliant. It wasn't as appalling as some people have made out.
Second most watched program on Christmas Day, though.
For non-fans, there was again too much. Exactly. That's why I think, as I said earlier, if you could have made it an hour and a half, you could have paced it out more, you could have covered all those loose ends up, but actually put more explanation into them. I'm doing hand gestures again, and Dave's just spilling wine over the keyboard. As to what it actually finished and what it was actually saying. But I think that's the danger. I think Stephen Moffat is a very clever writer. I know Ben obviously has it in for him, and there's other people like Richard Ding. Morgan, a good friend of mine, doesn't like him particularly.
That's an understatement.
But I think he's a very clever man. I think perhaps in sometimes he's perhaps a little bit too clever, and has tried to
Einstein was a clever man
too much, and therefore should have either cut it back or got an expanded time slot. I don't know how easy that would have been for him to get, you know, an extra 15 minutes. I think an extra half an hour would actually have done a lot better. I thought it was a wonderful moment. So at the very beginning, when he walks in, he's clutching the Dalek stalk, and he realises he's surrounded by Daleks, and he just thinks goes to go and droop down. And also with Handles, the Cyberman head, I thought that was a nice touch, and it's don't think we've actually understood where that came from, you know, which Cyberman story that actually came from. But when he actually Handles died, I suppose you'd call it the end, I think there was some genuine affection there from Matt Smith and the Doctor for somebody who had become a good friend of his. And also, again, did he want to go? And I think it's not the same as Tennant. He knew his time was up, because this is the first time we've seen a Doctor get old. I think you could with William Hartnell, you know, this old body's wearing thin, and you could say perhaps that was happening to him. But all the other regenerations were either regenerations caused by him encountering an otherwise fatal incident. You know, John Hurt, the Planet of Spiders, Tom Baker falling off the space antennae. You had Spectroc Shoxima with Peter Davison. You had Pat Troughton obviously being forced to regenerate by the Time Lords. Eccleston never quite knew. Why did Eccleston regenerate? I don't think that was ever quite
swallowed
its way.
The time vortex.
David Tennant, it was his time to go. He knew he was going, but he was still physically in good shape. This is the first time you've actually seen a Doctor getting old and needing regenerate because he was an old man. And of course, what we've now got, you saw that the grumpy man was a Doctor. And also the fact that Tennant did regenerate into Tennant, which is interesting. So what we have now, we have the problem of the regeneration cycles has now been solved. I know people will not like that. I've always seen on Facebook and I don't do Twitter, but
I'm quite happy with it.
Fora.
Yeah.
There are people who don't like that, but it has solved it. It's interesting. If you do read the Daily Telegraph, go online and read it. A lot of the problems he had, I think Steve Moffat bundled into a folder called Later. And unfortunately, Later happened yesterday and had to be done, which again is why I think there was too much packed into too short a time. The balance for there wasn't quite right. But I think, right, you come down to, what was everybody watching for? Everybody's looking for the regeneration and what we got. And we got a regeneration that we've never had a regeneration like this before. It being, in a way, one of the longest and yet the shortest. Because you knew it was going to happen to Matt Smith. You knew he was going. You saw the energy coming out of his arms. You saw him blasting the Dalek ship. You saw him hitting other things. And he was in the TARDIS. Again, it's back into the TARDIS regeneration. You know, it's continuing that theme of the Doctor will only ever regenerate now in the TARDIS. And suddenly, it was gone. And that was it. That was sharp. And again, I think that's, for me, was the best bit of the generation. It was different. We've never seen it like this before. It's not been drawn out. It's been a morphing suddenly, whereas this time it was a snap. It was a millisecond. Matt Smith, the 11th Doctor, 12th Doctor, 13th Doctor, call him what you want.
13th.
The old incarnation of the Doctor gone, and you now had a new Doctor. Consistency, again, you've got complete confusion.
Dodgy.
You know, I'm a Doctor. Can you fly this? I did actually see some people who never saying, oh, they didn't like
kidneys.
Hang on, he's been 15 seconds with the Doctor, for goodness sake. Well, and his eyebrows. For 15 seconds of eyes, and people joking on that. For goodness sake, people, get real. Overall, as I made the post on Facebook earlier today, it's Marmite. You could go either way with this. You either love it, you hate it, you can be indifferent to it. no one's right and no one's wrong.
Never indifferent.
I am.
Right.
So am I.
I think this is one of the most controversial episodes of what Stephen Moffat has done. And what
so is anyone who disagrees with either of you?
I would think he's probably trying to do just a bit too much here.
Yeah.
I do wonder how much longer he will go on for, because obviously Sherlock...
10 minutes.
How much longer has Sherlock got? Two more series? So that means he's only got one more
300 years!
We want to go off and do something else. And there are a lot of people say, give it to Mark Gatiss, give it to Neil Gaiman. If I had a choice, I would say, no, give it to somebody completely different. So move away
Eric
completely
Eagle.
From someone who's got linked to the show now and take it a fresh direction. Because I think the trouble is, you can... Everyone has a shelf life. Doctors, producers, everybody that connect the show has a shelf life, needs to move on. What you need to do is refresh it. You've got a new doctor now. No doubt Moffat will do the first year. Peter Capaldi will bed himself into the role. But then after that, I think, move away. Get somebody else in. Probably time to change companion as well. And therefore take Doctor Who in a fresh direction. That we don't
Harry
know
Styles
we
from One
see,
Direction.
But it'll be something different. That's what I think. So anyway, folks, in that case, I will now love you and leave you. The lovely Dawn, unfortunately, has got to go to work tomorrow. Why not?
Blood,
and I'm going to bike bike service. And we're going to go see the Clive Francis one-man Christmas Carol. So we've got a nice day to look forward to. Then on Saturday, I'm going to have to Twickenham to watch the Harlequins play. And no doubt I'll pour copious amounts of Guinness and a lot of curry down my throat. And feel bloody awful.
Come on.
Sunday morning for it, so I won't get through it. So then you
get on with it.
Anyway, season's greetings to all of you, apart from, of course, to Reese, in which case I say series greetings.
Doesn't exist.
Right. Thank you, Andy.
And
the lovely Dawn.
Sorry, a bit of work.
I think I've aged 300 years during that.
May I say something?
You may quickly, because I've got to go in a moment.
It is explained where he got handles. He got handles at the Maldivarium.
Yes, I know. That's what I said to you when we were talking. Alicia missed that bit. I said it is in there. When he came back, she missed it again because she was texting on her phone.
I have three points to make.
Very quickly.
Firstly, the time crack. Has it always therefore been the Time Lords trying to come through?
Apparently so.
In that case, Stephen Moffat makes this rubbish up as he goes along. That is therefore proven.
I think that the implication here is that the time... Because we saw in Series 5 that things can come through the crack, that the Time Lords are trying to use this particular crack to come through. They aren't behind all of them. They're trying to get through this particular one.
I like your ideas, but I still think Moffat's making it up.
Yeah, I know you do, Ben. I know you do.
All right.
Second thing...
Yes?
He's made a good point there about the length of the programme. Quite right. An extra 15 minutes wouldn't have made any harm at all to it. And also, everyone in Britain would also know that the programme on before Doctor Who, called Call the Midwife, was an hour and 15 minutes long. And yet Doctor Who was only an hour. Explain that one. You can't. Yeah, exactly.
And finally,
and
because
thirdly,
they spent the budget on the Day of the Doctor. Probably.
Budget.
Yeah.
Well, they, you know, 15 minutes was nothing. And as I say, other programmes around it were longer when that was meant to be the highlight of Christmas for most people. But, and thirdly, and this is a bit of a bad luck story, really. 2 weeks before Christmas, we changed our TV box. We went from an old one to a TiVo box. And we haven't recorded too much on it so far, but one of the first things I recorded was the Christmas Doctor Who special, which has a 2 second glitch just as the 0.3 of a second regeneration is happening, so I never actually get to see it anyway. So there you go.
Hi, player. Anyway, thanks, everybody. Well, I'm sorry I'm going to have to make this very abrupt and stuff, but I've got to glow. Go. My wife is glaring at me.
You've got to glow?
I'm regenerating.
You're regenerating.
Next week, it's Castrovalva.
Oh, he's changed. We didn't see it. It was
Thank
too quick.
Next week, it's Castrovalva. Sorry the end of our 200th episode has been so abrupt. But
when are we recording?
Next week.
When?
I don't know.
Genius.
Whenever. Sunday or Monday, I don't know.
Can we talk about time with the doctor?
I prefer Sunday.
Okay, we'll go for Sunday then until somebody says otherwise. But anyway, thanks everybody for being part of this show for the last 200 episodes. And
Happy 200!
Let's hope that continues onwards.
Yeah, by next week, do we mean January the 6th, or are we talking
next
just
week?
A few days
Actually,
from now?
A week's time. See what you mean, yeah. Yes, well, that's a bit awkward, isn't it? I've got to try and watch that episode in 2 days. Well, I'll try. Anyway, thank you, everybody. No.
Wait, are you talking about?
Wait.
Two days? Whoa.
Oh, no, yeah, no. The first solo. We'll make it easier.
We can get Adam into by talking for as long as we can.
Make it easy and say the first Sunday in the new year.
Let's see if we can get this episode to roll into 201.
No, I'm
going to
get into trouble, honestly. If I get in any more trouble, there won't be any more episodes of the 20 Megabyte Podcast. So anyway, till next time, Happy New Year and goodbye!
Happy New Year,
fancy
bye-bye!
Pants.
Oh, Adam. Thank you for listening over the last 100 episodes. Bye-bye.
So long, thanks for all the fish fingers and custard.
Thank you, Matt.
Bye, everybody!
Bye!
Ooh. Happy New
Just
Year, see you all next week.
Doesn't it? Everything you are gone in a moment like breath on a mirror. Any moment now, he's a-coming.
Who's coming?
The Doctor.
You. You are the Doctor.
Yep. And I always will be. But times change, and so must I. Amelia.
Who's Amelia?
The first face this face saw. We all change. When you think about it, we're all different people all through our lives. And that's okay, that's good. You've got to keep moving so long as you remember all the people that you used to be. I will not forget one line of this. Not one day. I swear. I will always remember when the Doctor was me.
Raggedy Man. Good night.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.